Overthinking is one of the worst things that anyone can go through.
You basically ignore everything about yourself and your problems, trying to help others. It seems like a great thing in itself. You can't help others unless you help yourself first.
If you can acknowledge and accept that that is a reality, nothing is guaranteed, and tomorrow makes me a lot more grateful in the moment that we have this podcast in the first place.
We're so engrossed into our own success and stuff like that. Take a moment, just text somebody that you just love them. Why did you not commit suicide? And it was as simple as someone texting them, hey, you matter.
Tell your friends you love them.
My story reminds me of
what?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That was me, man. You guys don't know that?
Once you find that love within you, you just have so much to give to other people that it's just like an overflowing cup.
Exactly.
So
fill your cup before you fill anyone else's.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bros Think Big podcast. This is the show where we talk about the simple and yet complicated ideas of self-improvement. Tune in and join us as we become the best versions of ourselves, just so that you guys can too, and always remember to like and subscribe for more. Today we got an interesting guest on us, someone who's currently journeying into the discovery of what it really means to be spiritual and grateful for the things around him. With that being said, Danny, come on in.
Come on, Danny.
Let's go.
It's good, bro.
I was trying not to trip on the wires.
No, yeah, thank you.
Like,
yeah,
we got all these things.
Kind of just fucked that up.
Yeah, awesome. I'm trying to, you know, being mindful of my own space.
Alright, so yeah, that tells us everything we need to know. Thanks
exactly.
For listening, guys.
Yeah.
So first of all, thank you for coming on the podcast. I mean,
glad to be here.
Just a little backstory, a very short notice. I met him in the gym just 2 hours ago, and you know, we got into this deep conversation about gratefulness, spirituality, you know, him wanting his own podcast, that kind of stuff. And I just realized that he would be a really good guest for our podcast. So I was like, yo, are you down to come on the podcast today? So here we have.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here. You know, it was
genuinely curious. Before you came here, did you have plans?
Other than like doing some like designing for like my podcast, and then like I wanted to revamp my website, nothing really crazy. I wasn't being backed up or anything, so I was like, you know, why not? This is gonna be fun and, you know, something new.
Exactly.
It's a class story. Just take the opportunity when it presents itself.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you miss 100% of the opportunities you don't take. So.
Yeah. Love well
it.
Said.
Mm-hmm. Especially with how sudden this shit was. It fucking popped up. They're like, all right, shit, we're going to do it. Well, listen, we're all glad to have you on. We've already gone into like a little bit of what we're going to be talking about and getting to know you a little bit. But as far as the audience, they're not really so familiar with you. So let's just jump right into it. Talk about gratitude and spirituality. Yeah.
Or if you want to introduce yourself, who you are, what you do.
Oh, yeah. So my name's Danny Isakoff. I'm 20 years old. I'm originally from Forest Hills, Queens. Now I live right over here around Feasterville, Pennsylvania. So in terms of kind of like my journey through spirituality and stuff, I think it really kind of started back when I first started college, back in freshman year. It was kind of like a journey of I wanted to like at first do it to be more present, because like I always had the problem of kind of overthinking as a little kid, and overthinking is one of the worst things that anyone can go through, I would say, because like we tend to kind of, when you start overthinking, it just kind of like
you're
it affects
being occupied
the relationship,
a bit, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like it affects the relationships with people you have, and you tend to kind of overthink all of those kind of things. And what spirituality and mindfulness in this case, like what really helped me to start that journey was meditation. I wanted to do it just to kind of like bring myself back down. And, you know, I've heard meditation a lot when I was growing up, kind of when I was a kid, like it was kind of introduced that I should be able to do it or should be doing this.
Yeah.
But I just didn't really see anything at first. You know, I was a kid. I was like watching YouTube all the time, being very lazy. And like we all go through those stages, you know. But in terms of like what happened that made me want to do meditation was definitely because I just like I actually went through around like 9 schools within my entire lifetime. So I always had really a lot of troubles like making friends. Or making new relationships come up for that. So I wanted to, when I first went into college, I wanted to really kind of like bring myself like down to a point where I can start doing a lot of inner work within myself. And that's what led me to start meditation. And at first it was kind of really hard, but like I found a good rhythm of it. Just waking up every morning and just doing a quick 5-minute breath work, which really helped me kind of centered myself spiritually to the point where I can have conversations where I'm not really
anxious.
I'm not really anxious or thinking what are the other person's going to think about me or all that stuff. Like, it helped me to really kind of focus on the present and like really focus on what I'm trying to say rather than trying to be more.
Like, say what they want you to say, exactly, kind of thing, right? You
know? Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of my journey into what meditation meant for me. And it helped me a lot in kind of, like, being able to connect further with people, which is one of my favorite, like, things is having authentic relationships. And I found a lot of people that, through being present and being mindful, I was led through a lot of people that I'm very happy to be friends with now. And I feel like it comes from a place of authentic energy, because when you're present, there's nothing you're trying to be, but just be, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
It's a good way. I got just a little point I want to make here, which is, I'm also someone who struggles with overthinking. Mike knows this. We were together. And
I think it's a common problem with overthinking. It's a very common,
yeah, that's true. But in terms of my relationships, like, if there was one thing that really caused, like, my exes to... You first blame the other one for the problems in the relationship, but then you come to realize that a lot of it is within yourself that you could have improved on so much. So I was trying to think of how I was able to overcome overthinking, and I couldn't, like, find a true answer. So I'm curious how you went from extremely overthinking to now being this mindfulness guy. Do you know what the turn was?
I would say, and this is like a very big point on like in terms of any point of meditation, the best way to really stop overthinking is you need to start letting go of the rumination within your mind. We tend to ruminate a lot of things. Like, for example, I have problems with exes too, that my relationships ended because of overthinking or just kind of like I couldn't articulate myself well, or I was way too invested, too infatuated, all that stuff. And like, it just
so many things.
Yeah, so many things. It's just, that's the point of relationships. Relationships are very hard, but it's a very good mirror of who you are in terms of the state of the person you are right now. That being said, I'm still doing a lot of work within myself until I'm ready to really invest into a relationship again. But in terms of overthinking on how my advice on it, the first step is letting go of kind of like the story that you have within your head. So how I would kind of like tackle it is in terms of like, let's say like you're thinking, like this person probably thinks I'm stupid. That can turn into thoughts that your inner critic's going to make into this person in your head that
doesn't even exist. Yeah.
Doesn't even exist, but you're going to carry yourself in that energy that you think it exists. And I'm going to be honest. I still struggle with it a lot. Overthinking is in terms a very hard thing to get over. But what I found that really helped me is really come back to the five senses. Like, what are you looking at right now? Like, really be curious on what are you looking at right now. Like, maybe that table. There's interesting things all around you. Like, we tend to kind of go through our lives just like walking through it and kind of not really minding our own business. We're all up in our own heads. But when you're like looking at like different desks, different chairs, beds, like, look at the grain of the wood. Become curious again, like we were curious back when we were children. Because back then, when we were kids, like, it was much more easier. We didn't have these worries about what we have now in terms of adults. But, you know, it's just, like, in general, like, I like to kind of, like, stop when I'm, like, walking in the park and just kind of notice a tree and just kind of, like, really understandably look into that and try to find something new. And it really stops you from, like, focusing in what it's in your head. You know, like, you have to kind of look outward rather than look back inward. Because when we look more inward and we kind of, like, answer through those thoughts get bigger and bigger and bigger. Because once you start rationalizing your thoughts and your thought patterns, it just eventually gets bigger until your feelings and how you carry you. Yeah, it's like an addiction.
It's like we try to rationalize the thoughts, but then it's irrational trying to rationalize the thought. So it doesn't really make sense.
Exactly. And actually, it's very stimulating for our brains when we do this. That's why ruminating keeps happening. Because it's a study that was like, I've read a lot of studies on this, but ruminating in our thoughts actually releases dopamine, which actually further makes us go into that hole. And one thing that I really struggled with as an overthinker is I tend to watch a lot of YouTube videos on just kind of like problems I face within my daily life and stuff. I guess one problem is, like, relationship-wise, I've never been a great person at relationships or even, like, asking a girl out. So, like, it was always kind of my thing of, like, what made my feelings worse is I kept watching videos and kept consuming content, but at the same time, that fear, that doubt, that edge, that kept me overthinking, and it
kept you reminding of those flaws,
It kept reminding me of what I'm not doing, which is in terms making me feel worse and worse and worse until, like, I'm overcomplicating my day, and then I end off the day probably smoking a joint because I have to, like, literally come back. But what stopped me from finally starting to do that is just, like, I had to kind of be within my feelings and be within the moment. And, like, I really tried to stop, like, me consuming that content because it honestly just made me feel worse.
You're just trying to distract yourself.
Exactly. It was, like, a problem that I was trying to solve that when I could have done anything else. Like, I could have been more doing the things I love, like draw, like do design, like, big things, but, like, I kept focusing on things like, oh, like, I need to do this and that and this and that, and at the end of the day, it just, like, it overcomplicated my head to the point where I had so many thoughts that kept criticizing me and self-blaming me.
I think a lot of this can be solved with the first thing coming to self-awareness, being aware that, okay, I'm just having a thought. I am not the thought. The thought isn't me. I'm having a thought. Just simply separating yourself from it. So, because a lot of people, they think, like, they have intrusive thoughts and they think, wow, I am this thought. I'm thinking this. Like, for example, it could be something like, okay, you're driving and then you have an intrusive thought of, like, oh, what if a deer pops out? Or what if I just swerve the thing and I crash into the tree? Mm-hmm. Things like, people have these thoughts all day long and it's exhausting. Most of the time, it's like when you notice a thought like that, you got to have the self-awareness to be like, okay, I'm having an intrusive thought. But there, between the stimulus and the response, there's space between the act, right? To really make the decision to be like, okay, this is not me. I'm just having a thought, just like I see the clouds in the sky.
Yeah, right.
Therefore, you get to change the direction of where you really want to go and separate yourself from it.
100%, 100%. Yeah, and that comes into, like, mindfulness as well, like in meditation. A big part of meditation is really, like, you're noticing the thoughts that you have in your head and you're choosing to accept it. You're not trying to deflect it. Like, the point of meditation is not trying to deflect your thoughts or your opinions or your thinking or even define anything that's happening in the moment. It's really just noticing your thoughts are there and coming back down to your breath. So, like, that's why many people kind of, like, preach on, like, focusing on deep breathing techniques when you're getting those, like, those thoughts that just... Exactly. Like, and focusing on
your... That was perfect form.
Perfect form. Yeah.
Thank you.
And breathing from your diaphragm is really good because, like, it signals to our body...
Down to your balls.
Not the way of the superior man.
Yes. Yeah, you go all the way down to your balls.
Breathe through your balls.
We've talked about this before in the podcast.
I love that.
People breathe in, like, such... They breathe up here shallowly, like, up in their chest. But you should breathe all the way down to your diaphragm. Mm-hmm. Maybe even down to your balls.
Yeah.
It sounds, like, inappropriate, but it's true.
T levels.
Anyone that's watching this, if you don't try it right now, then you're not a man. Like the first thing I heard to hearing that is I immediately tried it.
Yeah. Oh. Do a couple ball breaths and you're good, dude.
So sorry, what were you saying about, so what happens when you breathe through the diaphragm?
So it calms down your nerves and stuff, and like it signals to your body, hey, calm down. It releases like a
there's more oxygen in your body and in your more mind oxygen, too. More
and
blood
it also
flow
releases endorphins.
Yeah.
Another thing that you can do when you feel like this is just like a tip for anyone who ever feels like they're having a very bad day. I'm not saying like fake a smile, but like really just have a smile and kind of like start breathing and just like say, okay, stop.
Pause. You said that before, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stop breathing, pause, and just smile and just watch how your thoughts, they don't go away. Like, I'm not going to say this is the end all be all, but it just makes it a little bit quieter.
The mood shift in that, like, certain is insane, because I've tried that before, genuinely. Like, when I used to, like, when I was younger and I was more, like, unhappy than I was happy, doing that alone, like, it just puts you, like, the energy shift is so visible inside of your mind, yeah, right? To the point where you just, like, you act like a whole different person. And it's, like, for really nothing. The only thing I have to do to realistically just, like, get out of this little, like, 5-minute rut that I'm in is just smile for another 5 minutes. And you wouldn't take that. Not whatever the fuck he's doing. That's creepy, but... You know, like,
you know what that reminds me of? Have you all ever watched that movie Dare?
Jump scare, dude.
Dare?
Dare. There's this...
Oh, like Truth or Dare.
Yeah, Truth or Dare.
Yeah, and in their like mouth. Just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
You should watch Smile, the horror movie.
It's working.
It's making me worse, bro. Yeah.
So you said a lot of things. I just kind of want to unpack some of the things. You said 5 senses, right, to meditation. Mm. So what are those 5 senses?
Yeah, like see, touch, taste, okay, feel, and...
Smell?
Smell, yeah.
What is
like,
touch?
Yeah, you said smell.
Touch, like...
Oh, touch.
Touch, I right? I
said hutch.
What is it, the touch?
Touch? What is touch, guys? I've never touched.
Oh, yeah, what is touch? Mike, what's touch?
Let me show you.
Did no one else... Did no one else
hear? I heard hush. Too. Okay. I didn't hear.
And then hush. You're saying when you're in that state of mind where you're overthinking, you have to find like connection to those 5 senses.
Yeah, because like think about it. The 5 senses. The number one thing about those 5 senses, it's not you're doing anything. The first thing that people get wrong is when they're in this overthinking state, they have to do something. They have to get rid of this feeling. They have to get rid of these emotions that they feel. But when you But senses, you're being, you're just being those senses. So being those senses, what does that mean? When you look, we naturally look. You're not forcing yourself to look.
You are just looking, yeah.
You're not forcing yourself to see. You're just seeing. You're not forcing yourself to touch. You're just touching.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you're framing it as, and this is what my therapist told me, be, not do. When you're just being, and this is like the most standard part and the most basic part of being human, we're just being, you know?
Do you know why that is? Because we're not human doings, we're human beings.
Exactly. I guess, like, that, yeah. that's actually a good quote.
Yeah, like, I heard that somewhere in a book.
Oh, that's cool.
I didn't create that.
But
yeah, I've never
heard that before. Yeah.
I want to ask you, so, not even ask, first off, just want to say, I feel like I discovered part of the reason of the overthinking of why I was able to conquer it. I feel like there's a resonation here where you used to care about everyone else before yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah, of course.
Anyways.
Therapist right here, right next to me, bro, and I didn't even know it.
Anyway, I used to do the same thing. I think that's correlated a lot with overthinking is you try to, you basically ignore everything about yourself and your problems, trying to help others. And it seems like a great thing in itself. Mm-hmm. Like you're like, oh, I'm helping others. But it can't help. You can't help others unless you help yourself first. Mm-hmm. I'm a diehard believer.
It's almost like a way for you to cope. Yeah.
Exactly, it is a cope. It's a very great way to put it. Mm-hmm. And what I found is, I came to terms with having to understand who I am. Now that being said, I was able to conquer the overthinking in the midst of a relationship through that because I found who I am. But the other thing is, I found out I was able to conquer fears. Sash knows this because he's obviously my brother. I had a lot of fears that I would never do. That I do now. For example, I was scared of the ocean. And I think a lot of it came with accepting the fact that I'm okay if I die. So I think it's going to have to be the same. I haven't conquered it yet, but now that I'm thinking about it, when I think the most common for men is like approaching a woman, the amount of things that you think could play out. Mm-hmm. It's awful. Accepting that rejection is what it is. It's just rejection. Will help a lot. I don't know. Maybe you can speak on that. I don't know. You said you still suffered that end, but what do you think of anything?
Yeah, no. I mean, definitely what you're saying in terms of, like, it's almost like you have to... Okay, actually, I have a good story about this specifically.
Let's hear it.
So, I was actually in Atlantic City, like, a couple of weeks ago, and I just was walking on a boardwalk, and I was with my mom, and, like, we were just, like, walking on this boardwalk, and then suddenly, I just looked to the side, and there was, like, this big amusement park, right? And something was telling me just to go in there. I don't know what was telling me, but it was... I just went in there. I saw this really big ride, and it was just this, like... It was, like, a very big pendulum swinging ride. So, like...
Those things are scary, right?
Because when you look down, you're terrified, right? So I went on this ride, and, like, I'm about to go on this ride, and then there's these two guys, and I swear to God, this was, like... This is, like, actually a story. One guy was completely terrified. He was like, I don't want to ever go on this ride again. But this other guy... Right? He was like saying, that was the most beautiful view I've ever seen. So I went on this ride and I took that guy's advice. You went all the way up and you're up there for at least a good 5 minutes.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So like if you look down, it's terrifying because you're going to have that.
Wait, how are you up there in 5 minutes?
Like, oh, is it one of these like, where you go up slowly, then it drops you?
No. It's one of these where there's two seats, like there's two like I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, but it goes like this. But yeah. How are you up there for five?
No. It's like
oh, one of the these circular.
Things. Yeah, it's okay. One of those things where, how do I explain it? But like, there's
yeah.
two cabinets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's one at the top. There's one at the bottom.
There
yeah.
we go. Yeah, and you know, I'm there for 5 minutes because they're loading, of course, the people on the bottom. I'm looking. What's and I'm called? The only one there, by the way.
Pendulum.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look at
the circle well, thing?
The pendulum no. would yeah. be the, what I was thinking of. The...
Oh, you no, were no, thinking
no,
of the boat.
No, not the boat.
But the thing you were describing, that was a different hand motion. So I think what you're talking about was that cabinet thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, I think, at the BVM we went to, it was, let me see. At the BVM we went to, it was called Typhoon. I think that's what he's talking about. Because you go up, it stays here. And then it drops you.
But
and then
that's not what he's talking about, though.
Yeah, it's
that's
like...
He's talking about... It's a long thing.
You're going up. Okay, So I'm here.
It starts from the bottom, right?
It starts from the bottom. I'm going all the way up.
There's a front and there's a back row here, right?
There's another one on the bottom, right?
Just listen to him. That's not what he's talking about.
Yeah, so...
I think that's what he's talking about. No, he's not.
Let me... Okay, so... Okay, imagine. There's two seats. Okay. There's one on the top, one on the bottom. Right? Yeah. It's kind of rotating like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, it was weird, but...
It's literally like a long thing, like a stick with two seats.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Devil exactly. Things. Yeah, it's something like a devil tycoon or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. It's scary.
Anyways, the idea is that...
Okay, so, I was up there. I was, by the way, the only one there. Like, no, there was no one who came on the ride with me.
That's an elite feeling.
Yeah, that was really...
You feel so euphoric for that.
Yeah, you feel so euphoric, but
I'm
like...
I'm like divine if I'm the only one. I feel like I'm the honored one.
I feel divine. George, you're too focused on this.
No, I actually want to know.
We'll figure it out on the end.
Look up something like the Atlantic Station. Atlantic City.
I've never seen Georgie this dedicated.
Atlantic City amusement park. Yeah, let's look at it because like we need a visual. Come on.
By now we'll have a photo on the screen for them.
So yeah, for you guys, like, you'll get it.
Cool. We look like
we're going through this right now, you guys.
He's still invested.
But it is that mindset shift that really changes a lot of the things.
So
it's that little thing.
When I was okay, but like my main point of the story that I want to kind of say
prolonged.
Okay, so like I was at the top, right? I saw the most beautiful view of like the ocean I've ever seen in my life, and I swear to God, I just looked at that for 5 minutes. I was actually honestly feeling really down. Like I felt I was overthinking a lot, like because this was like a time where I felt very isolated within myself. Like I didn't feel like I have a lot of people like I could call friends in my life anymore. I just actually cut off a relationship with this friend I had for 6 years at that point. And it was like, I just felt really alone, and I felt like I couldn't really find like people I can honesty, trust, and I felt there was something really wrong with me, and also like the fear of kind of like, I guess
back
like,
to
I
the felt, overthinking
thing. Yeah, the overthinking, and it came to the point where it's like I couldn't even approach just random people and ask them stuff. Like I was so terrified and scared, and I remember being up there and then just kept looking, and I just said to myself like, this is what you need to do. You just need to keep looking forward. You, when you look down into your fears, the thoughts that kind of overcome your mind, that's when you're going to be terrified. But when you just kept looking forward, when the ride started, I wasn't even scared. I honestly had fun because then that thrill came.
Okay.
But yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I guess like that's the best thing I can say.
So when you said you cut off a friend, like what? Because we had this episode where we talked about, like, you know, the importance of good criticism from friends and, you know, having that friend where you can talk about hard things with and just confront them about their problems. They do the same with you and you grow together. But in this case, when you say cut them off, like, what do you mean?
I mean, I couldn't really... this friend, the one thing that I think he was is very... he was very shackled by lust. Dude had like a very twisted view on kind of like game, in my opinion, and like, you know, he was obviously trying to help me through a time where I was going through a single lifestyle, and he was just kind of saying, oh, like, you're gonna be alone if you don't do this, like, you have to face your fear. But at the same time, I feel like every conversation always kind of made me feel a little worse after it. Like, he's a good person. Like, we've talked a lot about just in terms of mindset, and he really helped me through the transformation of me becoming a man that I am today, because I didn't actually grow up with a father. And it was like, it was hard because I always needed that father figure within my life. My mom, bless her soul, like, she couldn't really help me
Having that hard father figure and masculine men in your life is a whole different story.
Exactly. And he was like, he's very old. He was like 27, right?
Oh, okay.
And I used to go through him, to him almost like I followed his advice, like, you know, the scripture almost.
Okay.
And what I kind of find, like, the reason that led me to cut him off finally, or not really, like, is just to kind of realize that in this stage of my life, I need to do this myself. I need to invest in myself and stop investing in, like, the people he told me to follow or all that kind of stuff. Like, I know in good conscience he wanted to help me and stuff, but, like, at the same time, like, I knew that I was not being led by the right advice, and he was really getting me, like, down with, like, the addictions and stuff, and I don't know. I don't like how he treated the women. Like, it's personally not how I
like a lustful projection of how you should look at a woman.
Exactly.
That makes you want to have a relationship with them rather than
like
something more pure.
He was being overly sexual, overly like this American standard that I feel like guys. Like, if you kind
like
of,
looking at women as if they're object kind
exactly.
of thing, right?
Exactly, and you'll see a lot of like. And part of, like, the YouTube addiction is, like, he led me down, like, a lot of addictions in terms of, like, seeing these content creators that kind of, like, have much more red pill kind of ideologies and stuff. And it was just really hard because, like, I don't really imagine, like, treating the person I want to one day, like, you know, marry. Because, like, I do want, you know, like, part of my biggest thing is, like, I want to be a good father. As someone who doesn't have a father, I want to provide a good fatherhood to a kid. Amazing. And it was like, it's hard to kind of see that kind of like, honestly, ideology being spread, because it almost went against everything I wanted or I believed in.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of like knew that, you know, as much as he wanted to help me, he always said he loved me, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was just not like something that I wanted to pursue into a relationship further. I just knew in my soul, like, I was better off finding my own path, and I'm still finding that path, like, honestly. But like, it was like, it was kind of like a good moment of finally, like, this was the first step that had me let go of my addictions. And part of the addiction was porn, you know, like, I finally, after I cut that relationship off, I completely cut off porn.
And it was very good, because like I finally felt, it was hard at first, but
I felt free, right?
Look back. I really never want to look back after that.
Good for you, bro. That's good.
Yeah, much respect.
One thing I wanted to tie into is when you were talking about the whole becoming like gratitude and meditation, something that you mentioned that I'd kind of look at like a side effect is how in touch you are with nature. You said that's one of the things you love and it's almost like a passion, whatever, right? And this is something we're personally very big on, just like the idea of appreciating the smaller things in life. Like if you see a flower on the ground. Yeah, hug a tree. We have like our whole inside joke about that and everything, right? Just nature and it itself, right? So a lot of people who are looking to become more spiritual or just get a better idea of who they are, look into their purpose, right? We love to tell them to connect with nature, because as we can see through your story, it was just this, it's a side effect. Now that you're getting closer to that like self-discovery, you are getting in touch with nature. So a lot of people that aren't in touch with meditation or whatever, we can reverse the process and get in touch to get them started by getting with nature first. And that will help them along with that path of just self-discovery. So I think that's a crucial thing, to be honest, just to kind of start appreciating those types of things. And a good way for like someone to really start that is to reverse the process, get in touch with nature.
Yeah.
I made a video about death recently on my channel. And do you think that played a part in getting more mindful? Because I found the idea that I know that one day I'm not going to be on this planet, and for all I know, it could be tomorrow. Knowing that I will die one day allows me to be more present in this moment. Because for the simple sake that this could be the last moment I ever have. This could be the last podcast I ever do. Like that is a fact.
I hope not, bro.
I hope not, of course, but that is a true reality. And knowing that and accepting that makes me feel more alive in the midst of the podcast. Has that helped you at all, or did you use a different direction?
No, definitely. And also, there's a technique in meditation that I really come back to called This Person Can Die Tonight. And what that allowed me to do is become really grateful for the people I have in my life. Like, just imagine that one day, even tomorrow, this person can die, and it can really help strengthen your relationships with the people around you, because you just imagine that reality that they're gone tomorrow and they'll never come back. And then imagine that for like just 5 seconds and then come back into your reality.
Dude, I think that's one of like the most efficient ways to really become like grateful with your surroundings, because if you're constantly like, as sad as it may be to have to think about that, if you can acknowledge and accept that that is a reality, nothing is guaranteed, and tomorrow, and you could be gone, like, it gives me it gives anyone more gratitude towards that sense. Like, for knowing that, God forbid, something horrible happens between us tomorrow and this podcast is never done, makes me a lot more grateful in the moment that we have this podcast in the first place, right?
Exactly.
One of the, like, if you really want to get in touch with gratitude, it's, you should be able to acknowledge that, one, but also learn to accept that. That anything's possible and nothing is guaranteed in life, so you have to make the most out of it.
100%.
Yeah. I think the only thing is with that type of mindset, at least just my personal take, I mean, obviously everybody's different, but for that thing to be the driving factor, I'm not sure if it's, I would say, the most positive thing though. Mm-hmm. That's just like my take on it. I think it is a good thing to keep that in mind, but you know, for that thing to keep you going, oh, like, I'm gonna die and everything, I don't know how that would be, just keep on reminding yourself about the whole death thing.
So
it is also a relationship with
thing too, like, about that. Like, I do agree it is a very negative way to look at it, but it's honestly, I would give that advice to someone who is very much going through the notions of their life, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you obviously can see themselves being so engrossed in their work, or engrossed in what they're doing, and they're not really kind of caring about the people in their lives or what their life is right now, they're unhappy. You gotta just remind them, it almost is like a reset to your mind, because then you're never gonna really think negative. When you think something so negative as that, how can you not live positively after that, you know?
You know, I want to. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's a great point.
I want to know what you guys think about that.
It's a good point.
And I think it also depends on your personality. So, for example, when I think of like posing the question or posing the statement, even that anything can be gone tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
depends on your personality. So if you're a natural pessimist and you ask yourself that question, like, oh, what is the point of this if it can be gone? That's when those nihilist beliefs start to form, and then you're almost asking yourself, why does any of it matter?
Yeah.
And that loses motivation. But if you're a natural optimist, like me and Josh, I know we both are, you ask yourself, or you pose that statement to yourself, this could be gone tomorrow, so I need to acknowledge it. And you can force yourself to be like, okay, so I need to enjoy it in the moment, then it's better for you.
Yeah.
So it depends on how, like, after you acknowledge it, that's the point of the question. You've already acknowledged it, but can you accept that? And can you accept that? Maybe I'll rephrase it into saying, can you accept that in a positive manner?
Yeah.
Rather than saying, oh, this is going to happen, so why does it matter? Like, in there has to be an aspect of you for saying, sure, why does it matter? Like, you shouldn't, you don't care about what other people say. That shit doesn't matter. But are you saying, this podcast might not, like, God forbid something happens to this podcast and it doesn't blow up, why should I even continue it? That's the wrong mindset. But if you're going to say, this podcast, anything can happen to us, so I'm going to enjoy every single second that we continue to pursue it, then you'll enjoy it. That's the right mindset towards it. So,
I think that's
like
a great
right one. On the target, like a honey bun.
Hell yeah.
That's the first time I heard that impression.
I've never heard of that before.
Like, but a honey bun.
I'm grateful for that statement.
I definitely was. It was a longer explanation. I could have made it more brief, but the idea is it's just about matching in with your.
For sure,
it's
very well said, though. Very well said.
Do you practice any gratitude, actual things, rather than just living in the present?
Like, a lot of things, like in terms of like gratitude, I would say journaling is a very good, like keeping a gratitude journal. You've heard this a lot, but keeping a gratitude journal of just saying, I am grateful for this. I'm grateful for water. I'm just like even small things you can be grateful for. It really affects your mood and it affects your happiness just to kind of be mindful of what you have in your life. Because gratefulness doesn't have to be something as big as like, I'm grateful for my parents. I'm grateful for like the house or something like that. But like it could be as simple as, I'm grateful for like drinking water. I'm grateful for the equipment I have. I'm grateful for to have the opportunity to breathe.
Yeah.
You know, like all that kind of stuff. Keeping that gratitude journal, it's almost like keeping a record of kind of like what matters in your life. And you don't have to do it every day, but like that's a good way to practice gratitude in general, in my opinion.
I think another angle to go at it is looking at the people who don't have what you have. And so knowing that, okay, someone doesn't have water, you should take advantage of the fact that, okay, I have water to drink, therefore I should take it and then use it to my advantage, right? Because if someone were to be in my situation, and they would be 100% grateful if they had a bottle of water, right? So it's like, who are you to think that, okay, you have a nice house, you have a nice bed to sleep on. Some people don't have that type of stuff, so.
No, that's so true.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it's like, when you look at it like that, it's like, really be grateful that, okay, you do have a house, you do have a bed. Some people don't at all. And so some people be like, ah, who cares about other people? Well, it's not the point. It's a way for you to don't undermine the things that you do have and take advantage of it instead of being that pessimist or being the victim.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, like a big thing about life that I see happen time and time and again is people get everything they ever wanted and they want more. And that really, like people say, oh, once I have money, I'll have everything I've ever wanted. That's a very defeating mindset, I would say, because happiness...
Well, limiting, right?
Very limiting. Defeating, limiting, whatever. Happiness can be achieved now. You know, that's the good thing. It's like, you have these things now. And like, yeah, sure, it's not your perfect imagination, but you should be happy with everything that you have, and to your point, the water, you're sleeping on a bed at night, you're living in nature, you're living in a good place, good neighborhood,
sure.
Mm-hmm. You're meeting the people you're meeting every day.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be the emotion of happiness. There's so many other positive emotions that you could feel, like being grateful, like being thankful and appreciative of things.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you guys if you know this. I can't name the source on the top of my head, but there was a study done on... and it was basically percentage of people that what's the thing that makes people the happiest? Like, is it money? Is it family? Is it this, that, this? What do you guys, I want to hear everyone's opinion on what is the one thing as a common consensus. I can't fucking articulate this, but I hope you guys are understanding. The most important factor to happiness.
Do you know what it was?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm asking.
Didn't I fucking tell you what it was?
Maybe.
Probably family.
Family, yeah.
So wait, our personal answer or
what,
like,
you think it is?
What was the option?
What's the answer? Like, is there an answer? The because he's saying like there is an answer.
Just whatever.
Largest factor of happiness.
Largest factor out of statistically everyone. Like what?
What people said.
Yeah. What would be the majority answer?
And what are we talking this here in America? Like what people said in the world or
globally?
What makes them happy the most?
Yeah.
Being happy, like I think that would be the answer of. Like, that would be their answer. Like, people's answer. Just being happy.
But what makes them being happy?
Oh, okay, okay.
I was going to say.
Actually, I would like to change my answer.
Success. Experience. People would say success.
It's loved ones. By far.
Family, yeah.
By far.
By far.
It's not even close.
The answer more specifically is relationships. This is through a TED Talk that I showed you that I'll even, like, throw in the description. It's a great one.
This is
a study that's been going on for, like, decades. I think even, like, don't quote me on this, like 60 years, 100 maybe. It's the longest going study where they've asked, like, generations of families and just people in general. What they've done is they ask people, like, hey, now that you've come to the end of your life, what can you say is the happiest, like, what is really matters to you the most now? What made you the happiest? And they all said relationships.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So with that being said, the whole reason I brought that up is you said this is like people are so I forget the word you said. I thought it was so cool. Engrossed into their work, into their craft. Make sure to acknowledge the people that you do have in your family, because I mean, like you said yourself, not to bring it, I'm sorry for your father, but look, for someone like me who does have a father, it's like there are people out there that don't. So I have to make sure that I
appreciate
it and foster as much as I can.
Yeah,
you know, like
exactly.
That's the whole point. Is like, I'm sure your relationship with your mother is absolutely fantastic, and I hope it continues to do so. But unless you put effort towards that relationship, that can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we're so engrossed into our own success and stuff like that. Take a moment, you know, just text. I know people say this all the time, and it's so hard, but just text somebody that you just love them. Like, it's such a dope thing to do, and it can make someone's day. And fuck's sake, I've seen things where people said, why did you not commit suicide? And it was as simple as someone texting them, hey, you matter. Like, that fucking...
Yeah, tell your friends you love them. I'm like, seriously.
Yeah, it's a reminder that you care.
It makes the relationship so much better if you do it. Trust me.
And if you're one of those guys who are like, ooh, that's corny, please click off this video.
Shut the fuck up, honestly.
Just
get the fuck out of here. Like, get the fuck out of here.
I hope you don't breathe out of your balls.
Now that's a threat right
there.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, bro. I really wouldn't.
I don't even know what you meant, but
something I've done for my family recently was like for their birthday, especially like my father. I wrote him a letter of gratitude, and every time he gets a card from me or something that's really written and I really put some time into it, he cries every single time. And my dad's one who like he barely cries, right? Mm. And so that's how it's like when I was writing that letter, it's like pour your heart out into those types of things matter, even if it's free, even if it's something simple, like a letter just saying, hey, I'm grateful that you've done this, like you're in my life, like blah blah blah. Like it's something really meaningful that people can really find value in.
You bring up a great point about giving gifts. Like one thing that I feel like most people do is like there's two types of gifts. The gifts that are actually handmade, actually have some thought into that. It could be as simple as like a written note and stuff, but when you're actually doing it from like your soul, it's something unique. Like that's matters so much more to the people who really you really love in your life versus like something like cologne or just like something basic, because like you're not really thinking of them. You're just thinking, oh, they probably like this. But like when you're actually sitting down and giving the time to actually like tell how you feel about your family members, how you feel about your friends, like there's something that ignites a special energy.
It like touches their soul.
Exactly. It ignites a special energy in them. Like that really like brings you closer, but it also like allows you to like reflect on what they mean to you. Which I think is a great exercise because it's another point of being grateful. Like I was saying earlier about the gratitude journals, having like those, sharing that gratitude with your family it reminds you on what like you love about them mm-hmm. and what they mean into your life, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I kind of want to get to your crafts, like what you do mm-hmm. and stuff, like art, because you said you're really into art and all that kind of stuff. So where did that idea come from? Because, you know, I can see you doing art because you seem like the person who is very creative, like likes thinking, because those are the type of people that do that type of stuff, like animation, designs, and all that kind of stuff. It's almost like their mind's wired in a different way. Mm-hmm. So how did that start with you?
Oh, wow. Back in, like, ever since I grew up, like, maybe around six, as far as I can remember, I was really obsessed with Cartoon Network. And I remember just being so engrossed in, like, those shows. Like, I loved Courage the Cowardly Dog growing up, Dexter's Laboratory, Samurai Jack. And those shows inspired me so much to, like, the point where I used to like make essays like some of my essays like when I first started writing essays was literally about the CN City era. Like I was like so obsessed. Some of my favorite YouTube channels that I watched really talked about like old Cartoon Network and stuff. And I just knew like originally I wanted to be a movie actor actually. So I actually did like acting classes and I was like a theater kid back then. So like I did acting classes and all that stuff. And I always loved playing characters. I love stories. Like stories mean so much to me. And like my main goal and what I like really want to do is become a storyteller. And I want to make stories that help others, like help others kind of get through their own lives and their own problems. Because I feel like stories are so powerful.
Oh yeah.
Just like how podcasts are kind of like stories in their own sense, right?
Yeah.
Stories can help give new perspectives to things. It can tell an idea in a different way than maybe it can even help a person get through their own problems within their life.
Exactly.
And
because stories are usually fictional too.
Yeah.
They're usually very simple too sometimes for kids. Because if you were to read a kid's story, mm-hmm. sometimes it can mean a lot more to you and it can be way more deeper than something that they would create now, like in a realistic way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like definitely. And that's the great thing about like kids are started by children books, you know, like the first books that I read was like, you know, like I don't know, remember like the rat and the cookie and thing? And
oh, stuff? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was like that. Those stories kind of like help. Of course, early childhood development, but it also teaches things like empathy and how to be like a good human and like you know, how to go for your dreams. Like Dr. Seuss's books are so imaginative because they have these crazy worlds, but all of them have so much basic morals. But those morals, like we tend to kind of like brush them off like they're
and overlook really them, yeah.
Anything. But like really look into those things, like it teaches the human experience in the most basic form.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And as a storyteller, like my job is to talk about the human experience. I really want to make, like the ultimate goal is like to make movies and TV shows that focus on the human experience and like what are our complicated psychology and all of it, you know? Because when you really look at a character, the best characters are characters that you look into and you can just relate to and understand in the most intricate of details.
Yeah.
And I just, that world really sets a fire in me every time I kind of talk about it.
Yeah.
Because like, I love just complex characters and complex narratives because like, I grew up with them and I'm still like, you know, I'm still watching those shows and watching like different things today, and I still love stories, and I'll never stop loving stories. Everything I do has a story within it. I don't just do something that's just willy-nilly and stuff. You know, like everything has thought because everything has a story. Everything has something that's behind it.
Yeah,
always. And we are all stories in the way. Like my life is a story as much as your life, and your yeah. life, and your life, and your life, and your life is a story. You know?
Exactly, yeah, and we're writing that story as exactly. we go on.
And I was saying before the podcast,
yeah, you like said that.
The guiding light and stuff. It's just, for me, our star is constantly writing our narratives. No matter how much our stories sometimes seem bleak and sometimes seem like dreary and we don't know where we're going, like, this is our story. And I know that, and everyone always tells you everything's going to turn out well and be okay, because every story has a good ending.
Yeah. You got to believe that at least, yeah.
You know, everything you say with the stories and stuff, like, I can relate so much, but, like, I'm more like the anime side. Like, I love just reading stories or watching these stories and just getting, not lost. Why are you shaking your head over there, Josh? Why are you shaking
your head? He's doing it for a reason.
Hey, he can get deep with this, so can I, all right?
Get deep.
So, as I was saying, right, like, with what everything that you just said, like, I can relate to so much. Like, I can read, in my free time, I read, like, fiction stories and stuff. And I just love, like, just the imagination the author puts into the actual story, the how different characters move, or like stories that are so long and so well made. It's something about it just makes you think that, wow, there's so many different worlds inside of people's minds. Like, there's five different worlds right here. Everyone is totally different.
Six.
Who doesn't have a story, guys?
Six, yeah, I was like confused.
You're good.
Anyway.
Can we bleep that out? I just put
six. Nah, usually five. I forgot he was here.
So who doesn't have the story?
No, I didn't know. I forgot it was six. It's usually five of us. I didn't know he was here. I think I said five.
He can say anything he wants. We're leaving that shit. Making you look like a dumbass. My story reminds me of Gorgeous Khan.
Mm-hmm. What? Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Georgie's cunt?
No.
That's definitely not.
That was just.
Genghis Khan?
Genghis Khan. What did you call it?
I don't even know.
Georgie's Khan. I don't know.
Georgie's Khan?
That was me, man.
You
guys don't know that?
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it.
He makes it worse.
Dude, it's okay.
We never even finished your part. Or were you done?
Oh, no. Interrupt me.
We just started fucking laughing. No.
What just happened? Now you interrupted yourself.
No, I was like, no,
George, George is gone. So what about George's gone?
I'm curious.
Tears running down my face. George is gone.
I'm curious.
What is George's?
I'm just going to shut up.
You can't. No, say it. What were you going to say?
Nothing.
No, there's
not know who Genghis Khan is?
Yeah,
no,
Genghis Khan.
He killed the most people in the world. It was a joke.
What was the joke?
The joke is I'm an emperor.
Oh, what the
fuck? Yeah, John's going to take over.
I'm a conqueror, dude.
Wait, what did Mike say before?
My story is like...
I said this.
Oh, that's what you're trying to...
What are you trying to conquer, Josh?
Everybody, okay. Everyone.
Dude, the joke sucks so much when you have to explain it. I just didn't know. I didn't know where you were
going. It's
because
you mispronounced this. We didn't know what you're talking about.
What is wrong with Georgia's con?
It's Genghis.
Dude, it's... Come on, yeah. George's Khan?
George Khan?
I don't know who that is.
I thought it was about me for a first
time. It's hard to say.
You were like, the emperor.
How do you spell it? Genghis Khan.
G-H-E-N-G-H-I-S.
Genghis or Genghis?
How hard Genghis. Is
Genghis. Let me get it. Catch me a break.
Genghis Khan.
This whole... We gotta have a cam on him. The investor.
Yeah, he's the internet guy.
I'm the internet guy. What did you say? Did you think I said George's Khan?
Hunt. No, to be honest, I think he just said that to make it funny.
I heard Georgie's, and then Khan made me hear cunt for some reason.
You just said it to make it funny, yeah.
The cunt's part, but that's not far off. I said George's cunt. I'm like, y'all
haven't heard George's. First, I thought it was something about George.
It was definitely an over-exaggeration, yeah, but then I didn't know what else to base it around.
This is
I don't know what Khan
guys.
Means.
This is getting stressed.
Okay, guys.
Taking pronunciation... classes
okay.
On how
Joseph
to pronounce
Stalin.
Genghis Khan.
My story is like Joseph Stalin. Are you guys
that's not the right one either.
That's not... Hey, bro.
Wait. It's not an A. It's G.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah. I misplaced an H. Khan, yeah.
I believe he's also the emperor who burned the books, right?
That guy looked cool.
I don't know if he burned the books. What?
I know a Chinese emperor did.
He was very powerful, though.
I think it was Alexander the Great that burned the books.
No.
What? No.
He was a good person.
Alexander the Great did not burn any books, no. It was a Chinese emperor, yeah.
Chinese emperor.
That's a good name, right?
Yeah, but you got history. Oh, there.
Y'all ever heard of
Sun Tzu? Yo, who was Alexander the Great? Where was he from?
Most complicated book.
Where was he from? Alexander the Great.
Literal. It's meant for interpretation.
The country called Great.
Oh, it was Julius Caesar. If you guys met at the Library of Alexandria, that's why you said Alexandria. It's Julius Caesar. Julius Caesar.
That's close to
that. Well, that's a...
Because I thought Alexander the Great
was talking about war, but the book is not about necessarily war, but basically how to go against your enemies in a way.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do, it does have a lot to do with war in itself, but it means so much more.
Mm.
It's meant to be read allegorically.
Why does that resonate with you personally?
Why does Sun Tzu?
The whole conquering thing.
That was just a joke.
Josh goes around. It's because like Genghis Khan killed hundreds of people, and Josh just really.
All right, guys.
Josh wants to do this.
Ways to be grateful. Become a conqueror.
No, but based on what you've said, I definitely see that you have a very big passion on what you're doing.
Definitely found the purpose in what you're doing. So I just want to know, when did that idea spark in the first place, where to the point where you said, I'm going all in and this is what I'm doing with my life?
I would say like when I was 10 was where I finally said, this is what I want to do with my life. I want to become an animator. And I looked into schools, like I was like researching art schools and stuff, and I found like a bunch of school, like Cal Arts, RISD, SVA, and I'm right now at SCAD. But these schools were kind of like always in the back of my mind. I wanted to follow the footsteps of the people that inspired me. Part of it was I really wanted to go to Cal Arts, but it was just really hard to get into it. Yeah. And even nowadays, Cal Arts is not what it used to be, unfortunately.
And who are the people?
Genndy Tartakovsky, Craig McCracken, those people made Dexter's Laboratory. Genndy made Dexter. Craig made the Powerpuff Girls, if y'all ever saw
them. They were so tough. Yeah. They were so tough. Yeah. Anybody says otherwise, fuck
the
you.
Green one. I hated the green one.
The Buttercup?
Yeah, sure. No, Buttercup was the blue one.
Yeah. No, that was Bubbles.
Fuck, you're right.
What was the red one?
I know more than
what you. Was
I like Adventure Time. That was my
Adventure Time is very good.
I was a gumball type of guy.
You liked adventure, Mikey, all the time, right?
I
you're the adventure kid.
Hey, exactly. Like if you guys don't like me after this, I'm gonna say I like Steven Universe. Okay, sue me.
That's not too bad.
Nah, that's ass.
Steven Universe.
Steven Universe.
It's that one fact.
Is it like a new gen type of?
No, it's like 2013.
You know what character he reminds me of? Patrick the Star.
I get that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of similarities. I look just like him.
He's like Squidward, this thing.
Really? No, he's Squidward. You're Mr. Krabs.
How?
You're like,
dude,
why?
He's the least attached Squidward? To money here.
What?
How could he?
Why am I Mr. Krabs?
I'm lobster.
He's like,
wait, are you greedy?
Like,
no, he is the least attached to money here. I don't know why he's anything close to Mr. Krabs.
Oh, I'm totally Sandy Cheeks.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
Should I mute the mic for you?
Cut his mic.
I don't know.
Who left
No, I don't even know that.
The person that fights the least is the martial artist. The person that cares the least about money is
the martial
artist.
My favorite part is, I know!
Just don't let him rank us. Bro said, I know! But you also picked a female character. You do realize that, right?
Okay.
Josh is Mrs. Bo.
No discrimination. <here, man. laughs>
Now, what was the fucking whale? Mr. Krabs' daughter. Who was that?
Pearl.
The big ass whale. Let's get back to the pod, guys. What the fuck are we doing, guys?
Why are we talking about we going on?
George is going through some shit right now. You good, bro?
He's Squidward, bro. I don't know.
Yo, bro.
Yo, Squidward, speak.
I'm just confused right now.
What the fuck are we talking about?
Okay, back to the podcast.
Yeah, what were we saying before that? About the cartoons? We're talking about cartoons.
We were asking about his crafts and as to like with fashion.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I wanted to follow in the footsteps of like those great animators, and that would lead me to like wanting to pursue art college and all that stuff. And I knew it was going to be expensive. Like, I'm. After this, like, 4 years, I'm going to be paying upwards of 170K.
Ooh.
Yeah, a lot of student loan debt.
What school do you go to?
SCAD.
Savannah College of the Arts and Design in Georgia.
That's in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, that's in Atlanta, Georgia.
It's like a guaranteed zone.
Atlanta, Sash. Good job.
Yeah.
He sent it in a text.
Do you know what state it is?
Come on, dude. Come on. How would he not know?
No, come on.
Texas. Right? California.
California? Missouri?
Where is
Texas.
It?
Texas.
No.
Texas.
No.
Why would you say Texas?
I don't know.
Oh, no, it's in PA.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bro.
Shit. Dude, I was close.
I don't know where that shit is.
Well, anyway.
Do you not know where Atlanta is?
I know where Atlanta is, yeah.
State.
This state.
Genuinely.
The top.
No, seriously.
No, actually, real answers
y'all
now.
Y'all don't know where Georgia is.
Yeah, it's New Jersey. Dude, I'm getting so fucking, I'm getting so confused.
No, real answers now.
New Jersey.
Yeah,
No. Where's Atlanta?
Atlanta? Atlantic City? Atlantic City or Atlanta?
Atlanta.
No. Oh, Atlanta. You were thinking, yeah.
What state? Yeah, Rhode Island. Like, what state?
I thought bro was talking about Atlantic City.
I said Georgia, like,
Louisiana.
Atlanta.
Who said
it
twice?
I don't know.
Fuck. Is it Louisiana?
You don't, wait, you guys still know?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's Louisiana.
Georgia.
Georgia, I don't fucking know. I didn't know it was a fucking state.
Fuck, not really like the dumbasses, bro.
I thought his face was like.
I thought you meant Atlantic City.
No.
Atlanta.
At first, I was thinking of it.
No, that's what I thought.
Yes,
but
Georgia.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So does I actually want to ask you a serious question. Does those like obviously you're going to be in debt and stuff with the amount of money that you had to pay. Does that ever scare you that no?
Okay. I'm honestly the most confident I've ever been in my life that I will be completely fine after college, cuz for me I think what animation and the animation degree has allowed me to do is first of all visualize. It's a lot of work that I'm putting in. Like, I'm still not near to the amount of the artist I know I could be. But again, this is like any skill that you're building up. You just got to keep doing it like every day. And I'm trying to make sure I draw every day, create something every day, put in that work. Because there was this book I actually read recently called The War on Art. I would also recommend if you guys actually.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, I've read a little bit of it.
Yeah,
I think you read it.
It's really good. It's really good.
So Resistance, right?
With
creating things.
Resistance and creating things. That book honestly unlocked my creative block. But like, what I would say, like, is the biggest point of that book, is that it allowed me to work within my passions. Like, I remember like there was a time where I just kind of chased so many different goals and just goals that didn't really make sense within me. Like I wanted to start this course on talking about productivity and time management. But the thing is, like, I never really completed the goal because, like, yeah, I was really into time management and it was a big part of like me accustoming myself to college.
Right.
But I just felt like I didn't really have a passion to it, you know? But now I'm actually doing, like, the fashion brand that I was showing you guys earlier. Yeah. Animation, like, I'm doing concept work. I love writing. I love, like, making scripts and stories and all that stuff. I'm doing things that actually inspire me, and I'm finally getting into my major enough where I'm creating things that I'm actually, like, really proud of and very excited to show one day, because the story I have, like, for my final thesis film, I'm very excited for that, because that's going to be, like, my hope is to get it into a majority of festivals, especially, like, up in California, and I want to get it into Annecy one day. But, you know, like, in terms of kind of, like, that journey of me kind of covering my own bases, I find out that if you're not going to kind of work within what you authentically are passionate about, you're not going to like it. And it's actually calling back to the Ikaji, if you guys ever heard of that philosophy.
No.
So there's a philosophy called Ikaji. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Ikigai?
Ikigai. Yeah, there we go.
Japanese?
Yeah. And it's talking about how do you live a fulfilling life. And one thing is you're working within your passions. And then the second thing is you're having
Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah. And then the third thing is just kind of like you have, I don't know if I'm saying the philosophy for once, but like one main goal is you're working within your passions and stuff. And it is a piece on how you make a fulfilling life. Because if you're working a 9-to-5 or you're working in something that you don't even have passion in, It's like you're not going to be happy and you're not going to make as nearly as much
amount. It's just life draining.
It's life draining, right? But that's what, like, I knew that this goal of being a storyteller has always been instilled in me. And this is the one thing that I knew that since I was born, like, I was going to be in the entertainment industry. I did not want to do any other job. My mom tried to get me into being a medical doctor. And I don't care how much money I would have made, but it would have just not made me happy. I don't really, for me, materialistic things like money, like, I've always been, thank God, I've always been, like, very well off. But, like, I wouldn't say I desire money as much as I love creating. Yeah. And that's beautiful. More important for me. You
that's
know?
Very good.
Yeah, I think me and you are very, very similar. What I was going to mention earlier before Josh about the Georges Con was I was going to talk about...
he had to bring it up.
I was going to talk about the stories and stuff like that because with the whole reading stories and seeing other people's perspectives and stuff, it's like it's almost everyone's like an actor in their own little story, their own little play. And I wanted to be an actor too when I was younger in like middle school-ish. I just like I saw people on like movies, TV shows. I just wanted to be like the main character almost, you know what I mean? And when I'd read stories nowadays, the people that I resonate with are the people who are so like the heroes almost, right? And it's not saying that I'm a hero, but I want to be a hero for those people because, I don't know, this is something I resonate with. And with what you were saying, with the whole 9-to-5 thing, it's like as a creative, as an artist, you feel so trapped in this like box when you're in a 9-to-5. And it's like you just want to be free to express. You just want to be free to do your own thing. And I've been just like most of my these last couple of months, the last couple of years, I've been trying to just fight for that freedom to be able to express. But then I realize I'm already free. I can express and everything just comes along with that. And that comes along with the
purpose.
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
So true.
That's very true.
Yeah, молодец.
Молодец.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
That's a good job.
What is that?
Maladies.
Guys, I'm American. I don't know.
Maladies.
Great job.
Okay, thank you.
Maladies.
I'm American. I don't know.
I don't know. You only speak American, right?
Americanski. Americanski.
Americanski.
Maladies. Da, da. Maladies.
One of my favorite animes.
Yeah.
The animated Gendy is actually also Russian. So, like, that's actually kind of cool. Gendy Tartakovsky is also Russian.
What is?
Yeah.
Yeah,
whoever that is. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, pull that guy off the screen.
I'll take that.
So yeah, the three questions. We have three questions for every guest. Just a quick answer, and then we have a following question from our previous guest, and we're gonna ask you, and then you're gonna tell us a question that we're gonna have for our next guest.
Okay. Okay. No problem.
So first one, what is your best advice to somebody in life? What is one thing you would tell someone?
Do what you love.
Yeah. I think we pretty much just covered that the whole episode. Dude, and you're one of the best advocates too about that.
Actually, do crack.
There you go.
Well, yeah,
that guy. That's what you love. What is it that keeps you going in life? What's your drive? What are you doing all of these for?
Stories.
Straight up stories?
Stories. That's what it keeps me going every single day. Writing my own story and then allowing other people to write their own stories.
Dude, instead of make an impact, pretty much.
Make an impact. Yeah.
Also, were you also thinking with the story thing and how you're so passionate about with those cartoons and stuff, animations that you're going to create, you're going to almost tie your story into it too? Mm-hmm. Or like maybe script a story where you are also part of it and you're portraying your story without necessarily having to tell them, hey, this is my story.
Yeah, of course. Like, I mean,
I think that's very important.
That's probably like the most important too. Like, we can learn a lot from our own stories. Like, even like me talking on this podcast right now, it's me literally divulging my own story and stuff. Exactly. And my own experience. Which hopefully, like, our viewers over here, they can learn something from that, you know? And like, that's like the main drive for me. It's like, I want my story to kind of be an example for other people's stories. And like, I want to put what I went in terms of my experience and then in my own ways of how I can jump in and solve my own problems. Because sometimes the best stories are things that actually like are characters solving their own psychological problems and psychological dilemmas, yeah. You know?
Yeah. And I think as a story creator, most of the times when you create that main character or something that a character is going through, always resonates with you and how you would want to do it or how you look at, in what perspective are you looking at it from?
Exactly.
Like all the time, almost. Like every artist that does it just does it.
Yeah.
From their experience.
Yeah.
That's why every single movie, every single TV show just is so different from each other.
Exactly.
Even though it may be the same theme, it's just so different.
Mm-hmm.
So, last question. What is one thing that you see people struggle with in today's society? And how do you think we can overcome that problem or you yourself?
Let me think. Give me 1 second. Let me think about that. I feel like the one thing I think we all struggle with right now is being, how do I say this? It's being overwhelmed by all the information we have today. What do I mean by this? One thing that I took upon myself to do is giving me strict guidelines on how I engage with social media. And how I engage with YouTube. And like I was talking the whole like podcast, I'm kind of like my struggle of being addicted to YouTube, which is something I don't think is really talked about a lot in our modern society.
Even though it happens with everybody almost.
We are overwhelmed by the information. Ever since that the internet has come online, we have been constantly being fed new information, new ways to see things, and that can be very overwhelming. To the point where people are chronically on the internet and they're not going outside, they're not having healthy lives, and there's a male loneliness, especially like as a male, and loneliness is an epidemic everywhere right now.
For sure.
And I think that's really coming down to the overindulgence in the information we have right now. So I guess like my answer on how people can cure that, start like putting restrictions on that. You know what I'm saying? Because like it could be good to get information because like, listen, this is the best time in history right now to make money. In history right now to like make a living and all that stuff. But
digitally, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, like, but have restrictions. Don't let your phone control you. I see people all the time look at their phones while on dates or look at their phones while with their family, ignoring that time they have with their loved ones, which is the whole opposite part of being grateful. It's like we tend to be so ungrateful nowadays that we keep looking at our phones and stuff, right? So put down that phone, have a better, like try to have a better relationship with your device, you know, because what I do personally, there's this app called OneSec that I have a schedule where I only look at Instagram and YouTube maybe 2 hours a day now.
Yeah.
It's lowering my screen time so now I can focus on my business or my drive or working out in the gym. I'm replacing my addictions to my device to being more present within the everyday struggle of life, you know? Yeah. And that honestly allows yourself to kind of like reset your dopamine because we're constantly being stimulated with TikTok, all that kind of stuff. So like my number one advice is just having a better relationship with your social media. And I can definitely tell you, healthier, yeah.
Yeah.
Like don't cut it out completely because that's like, that's crazy because we're all, you know, you're supposed to make a living on social media these days. This is unfortunate.
It can be a good thing if you use it wisely.
Exactly, right? But just like limit your time on it. Don't let
social media control. Use it with purpose. Use it with intention.
Exactly. Don't let social media control you, you know?
Yeah, you should control the social
media. Very well said.
Because, yeah, people don't really have any type of relationship with each other. I think that is number one thing for depression and stuff. Everything that is an internal problem, such as depression, anxiety, all that kind of stuff, has been rising up. And at the same time, the consumption of the internet has risen up too. It's like it is a very good correlation there. It really aligns together.
It's strong.
It is very strong.
And that's exactly what my path has been. It's like finally letting that go and saying, no, this is the problem. Like, I'm here all the time, and this is why my anxiety is raising, and this is why I'm like so in my head.
Yeah.
It's sad to like be on it like 15 hours a day and seeing real people have those experiences. And you're just looking at your phone saying, I wish I was like that.
Like, it's fucking easy to
and
be
it anxious. It happens all the time.
It's easier than ever to focus on what you don't have.
It's also easy to be anxious, easy to be depressed when you don't know how to fucking socialize with other humans because you're consistently, you're glued to the screen. Like, it's terrible. Like,
and we are social creatures too. We are supposed to socialize with each other and stuff. And when you spend 14 hours on your phone, when you can spend that time to talk to people and, you know, have conversations, that's why you are depressed, and that's why you're away from reality and
you're
present
just
moment.
Consuming content that has no meaning.
100%. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Good answers.
And, yeah.
And then.
Drums, please.
Oh, you have that question too?
Yeah.
For the
Emperor.
Emperor.
Now. Now.
You're
command.
Genghis Khan.
Yeah, Genghis.
I'm never.
I am definitely in the present right now. Anyways. The question comes from a previous guest. If you could go back 10 years, what would you tell yourself in one sentence?
One thing.
What are you, 10?
That's one sentence.
10-year-old Danny.
That's not what the question was, buddy.
It was one thing.
10 years ago. Okay, wait, let me think about this. Because, like, I have to tell something that hits hard for me. Love yourself.
Boom, straight up. Love yourself. Yeah.
Again, just a prime example of that journey.
Did 10-year-old Danny not love himself?
That 10-year-old Danny was trying to have everyone love him, but he couldn't even find the validation to love himself.
Mm. Yeah, that's deep. Yeah. Exactly. I'm glad you overcame that issue because I think it's a very deep and a dark one that I personally know some people too that struggle with that for sure. And I personally didn't have that struggle as hard as other people, but I think at some point of our lives we all struggle with that type of thing. And once you find that love within you, you just have so much to give to other people that it's just like an overflowing cup.
Exactly.
So
fill your cup. Yeah, like you said, fill your cup before you fill anyone else's, because when you have excess of love, now you can actually give love, except of trying to have them fill your cup constantly.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a virtuous cycle. Don't let people be the reason. Like, don't let people validation or opinion of you be the reason that makes you happy.
Exactly. Yeah. Quote of the day.
Question. Before what question would you want to ask to the next guest? Mm.
Make them think with it. Yeah.
Okay.
If you want, you can also just send us a text.
No,
like,
we're not doing that anymore.
No? Why?
Yeah, let's just sit here for that.
Let me like, why? I've been cooking this whole podcast.
Never answered. The
have we pestered them enough to the point where we get them a text?
Sure, we can do a better job, but this can be handled right now, so why wouldn't we?
Okay,
give me a minute to think.
Okay, give me a minute to think. But like, I've been cooking, don't worry.
We'll just skip to the part where he asks the question instead then. Let's do that.
Typical Josh.
Okay.
Don't rush. Don't get this.
What'd you say?
Yeah, George, you go be the best. Why wouldn't we just give them time to think about it?
Oh, him?
Damn, bro. Okay, wait. I got something. What's your deepest passion and why?
Nice.
Interesting.
That's a good question. Some people don't even think about their passion at all. Mm-mm. Some people are just like money, status, bigger muscles, like the superficial stuff.
What does passion mean to you? What does passion mean to you?
Just passion.
I want that question to be asked in
yeah,
the
it's like
same
something
way.
Authentic, I think, right?
Yeah, like what passion means to me is, of course, being authentic and stuff. But I think what it means is
Like, what gets you out of the bed every morning? Like, is it something that you're making? Like, is it your business? Is it the people you love in your life? Is it the people, like we were talking about, like those needs and stuff, like what makes you happy, right? It reminds yourself, like, what are you kind of going towards? Like, what is your ultimate goal? Like,
is it your purpose then? Or is it
your purpose? Yeah, like in terms of your purpose, but it also answers the question of your purpose, because usually the
passion, you're passionate about that purpose.
Your,
yeah,
your passion is actually correlating to the purpose, and it's actually the beginning stages of finding your purpose. Because how I found my purpose, I wasn't just saying I need a purpose. No, I needed to learn about what my passion was first.
Yeah.
And that passion was stories.
Because it's the love that will drive you. Exactly. It's that passion.
Because if you don't, you need to find love for what you're doing. Then you find your purpose.
Yeah. Or passion, I would say. But yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
And we always like our guests to read the quote of the fucking day.
This one's by you.
This is an interesting one. Yeah.
Say it and explain it. Why do you say this one?
Yeah, this is his.
Friends are the greatest gift of the on the planet.
Yeah. You came up with this quote.
Why do you think so?
Yeah.
Because conversations like these, it allows us to bring new meaning to our lives. It allows us to think about our lives differently.
Learn more.
Like, you can have experiences with your friends, and like you have so much more fun connecting with humans that actually think like you and emit that same energy. Like, that's why friends are the greatest gift on the planet. Because like, every friend can allow you to burn brighter and burn so bright that it raises your energy. It makes you much more happy. It makes you much more present in every single moment when you're with your friends.
Especially the good ones.
Exactly.
You know what happens to people who don't have friends?
They die.
Well, everybody they get, dies, yeah, but they're the school shooters. No. Yeah. It's true. There's a correlation between the school shooters and having loneliness.
Loneliness.
Biggest problem in this generation, absolutely, by far.
Mm. Definitely.
That was Trump's assassination. The person that shot him had no friends.
Mm.
In case you didn't know that.
Mm. Yeah. They're
trying to find.
Yo, where's my reward? I knew it, bro.
People are trying to find answers for why he did it, and they're gonna try to come to conclusions, especially on social media with, you know, all this overwhelming knowledge like we speak about. But the answer is, loneliness fucks you up more than anything else.
He was
loneliness. Actually, there's a study to that point.
I wonder if you're going the same direction as me.
Yeah, loneliness actually kills us faster
than
I was
obesity.
Gonna say that.
It's worse than obesity.
It is.
It wasn't worse.
Takes away like a couple years from your life.
Yeah,
that's two studies now highlighting how important.
No,
like,
but
people
I'm the lone wolf though.
Is one of the
social
worst,
yeah social relationships, bro.
Worst problem in our generation today, and that's why
wolves are not alone, man.
Let me say, as people in our generation, in our age, the best part is we have the power to stop that from happening.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm a lone wolf.
No, wolves aren't alone, man. They're never alone.
No,
they're always in pairs.
No, but I am.
You're not. No, then you're not a wolf.
I'm
going
to do it all by myself. I don't need anyone.
We forgot he's a Sigma.
I don't need anyone.
Sorry.
Enjoy
sorry.
Your life.
I'm a lone wolf.
Enjoy
though.
Your life, bro.
People generally think that, though. I used to think this, too.
I think
too.
You're a cat. You're not a wolf.
Meow. Yo, Georgie's just out there. It's not like nothing, but he doesn't care.
I'm a hurt puppy. Alright, we'll attend this shit. Oh no, let's do the
shout out. Yo, Sash, you got this one, bro.
This shit needs more views, bro.
TS needs more views, bro.
Connor. No. Apostrophe TS needs more views, bro.
That's that was me testing out the marker. That's not even
was that
Connor? Connor it's
Benoit.
Benoit. French, right? Sounds.
Thank you, Connor,
Benoit.
Bro.
Thank you, Connor, bro.
Oh, wait.
Thanks for that comment,
thank you, bro.
This I actually appreciate you, bro.
Can I shout out the podcast?
What is it?
The podcast.
Oh, yeah. Dude, actually, anything that you want to plug in now, do it. Yeah, even social medias.
Okay,
let's do it.
So,
beep, beep. No, I'm just
kidding. All right. Follow at dstar underscore x1. That's my handle. I'm on Instagram. If you guys also follow Kara, you can check out some of my art. Danny-Isakoff.com as well for some of my portfolio art if you are ever interested in that.
Yes, sir.
Another thing is I'm actually starting my own podcast with one of my friends.
Let's do it.
That's going to be called Grateful. That's spelled with a G-R-8-T-F-U-L.
dot blank. And that's going to be releasing hopefully very soon. We're going to actually release our first episode within the coming month. So if you guys are interested, definitely, definitely follow for that. But yeah, more on my Instagram when we have the first episode released. But I just want to thank all
of you. Dude, I'm so excited for your first episode.
Yeah, no, I wish you that would be a tough one. It would have been like the first thing we said. But yeah, all of those are going to be in the description. We're going to have everything listed out for you. Make sure you go check it out after.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome.
Thank you for coming on. Yeah, thank you for being such a good guest. Yeah, and yeah, we'd love to have you again.
Yeah, of course. I'd be down.
No problem. And we have an ending quote. You haven't watched our podcast? I don't think so. So we're going to say it right now. Ready? It's going to be think big, grow big. Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three. Think big, grow big.
Peace.